You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. A little something in there, a little bump in the road. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, it was good. I'm all good. But
okay.
Sometimes it flows more smoothly than others. And it just, sometimes you get a little back wave. As the cup comes up, the fluid kicks off the back of the cup, comes back as a tsunami into my lip. It's a complicated thing. People think this is an easy task opening this podcast, but it's not.
Some people make anything complicated.
You're not kidding. That's my life right there.
We're continuing this question. The next two questions will really be wrapped up in really church membership.
Yeah.
So do you believe scripturally when somebody's baptized, they're a member?
Yeah, I've had to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to think about it. When it says they were added to the church, yeah, I don't know how we get around that. That's not part of baptism. Or
they were saved.
Saved.
They believed, were baptized, and were added to the church.
And were added to the church at that very moment. Because of the baptism?
I believe it indicates it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because there can be some question. And at a church, was that a later time?
No, I believe it was through their baptism.
Mm-hmm.
They believed and were baptized and were added on the church. I believe it was a combo thing.
Yeah, the combo deal.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. You want fries
the
with
big
that?
Combo.
You want fries with that? As you get baptized, you want fries with that? Yeah, so that's what I think. I think their baptism brought them into the membership of the church. They were added to the local church that was already established. So, yeah.
And there's only one church then.
Yeah. But that would bear question then. So what happens if somebody got saved and got baptized in a Pentecostal church or some other church that holds a different doctrine? Then they come to our church. Do we have to rebaptize them? That's a whole nother show.
Well, yeah.
It's a whole nother show. But, I mean, that's what is
baptism? Is the door of the church.
Baptism is
the door of the church membership.
Yeah. Right, right. So
without baptism,
mm-hmm.
you cannot be a member.
Right.
Without salvation, you cannot be a member. Because without salvation, you can't be baptized.
Correct.
Scripturally.
Yep, yeah.
But I believe that baptism is the door to church membership.
Okay. So.
So now all we're doing is saying, how particular do you want to be on church membership?
Mm-hmm.
So you're coming from the aspect, and of course, we had a great relationship, Pastor Senefa Pointe-du-Jour in Haiti.
Yep.
And of course, now what they did, when somebody who was a witch doctor
yes.
got saved,
uh-huh.
they made them basically sit and do nothing for years.
Yes.
Then they would decide if they're going to baptize them.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to them fruits meet for repentance.
Right.
And they were not going to usher in wolves among the flock.
Mm-hmm.
And so were they wrong? I don't think so. They know their people. They know their culture. They know the whole situation. They probably know what has happened in many other instances.
Yes.
Because we are believing people and willing to trust. And maybe there has been a great history of injuring the flock
right.
by wolves getting in.
Right. Where did the action of baptism come from?
It came from God.
Came from God. But in our visits to Israel, we've learned of the mikveh bath. The mikveh bath. The ceremonial cleansing
bath. Yeah, ceremonial cleansing, right.
Which
right.
is a really a very strong picture of our baptism, right?
Right. The priest would have to go through that.
Right, when they're writing the Word of God. So.
Well, and many other. Anytime they had to be cleansed.
Right.
Any priest that needed to be cleansed, they would immerse.
And even the people when they went to the temple to offer the sacrifice, right?
In some occasions.
Okay. So the Jews already understood the idea of going down into the waters. They would submerge themselves under the water and come mm-hmm. up, and they'd be cleansed.
Yes.
And so the picture of baptism is you trust Christ, you go under the water, you've come out cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So same idea. So I think that a lot of times we westernize the Bible and we don't understand the Eastern culture. A lot of the people then in Israel, when they got saved and they said, you need to get baptized, they understood that they had been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, they were going through a ceremony
right.
to officially enter into the way.
Right.
People of the way.
Right. And our people don't have that. America doesn't
Many
have that.
Many don't.
North America doesn't have yeah. that. Yeah. So I think that's where sometimes we have to take some time to teach and preach.
Absolutely.
And, you know, make sure people understand.
Absolutely.
You know, you got saved. Now here's some teaching on baptism too. So understand what's going to take place.
So it is important.
Yeah.
It's so important that Jesus got baptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how important it is.
Yeah.
And because John prepared and facilitated all of the quote-unquote stones, the lively stones, mm-hmm. For the church. Jesus started the church, and he started the church in his earthly ministry. Mm-hmm. By the time Pentecost came around, there was already a church. Jesus left the church.
Yeah.
It didn't start on Pentecost.
No.
And so everyone he called into a position had been baptized.
Right.
And so, you know, all of the apostles, mm-hmm. and then, of course, we know the Bible said that even though Jesus, he baptized more than John the Baptist, although Jesus himself baptized no one.
Right.
But his disciples did.
Right.
And so Jesus even baptized way more disciples than John did. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, he started the church.
Yeah.
And you enter the church through baptism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Here's the question. Should they be allowed to be baptized as the only requirement for baptism is simple faith? But
yeah, I disagree with that. Simple. But anyway,
right,
yeah.
Right, yeah. It's semantics.
Yeah.
But be prevented from becoming a member until they can resolve the sin issue as the requirement for being a member in good standing in a church is a life that is free of any known habitual sin.
So I guess you'd have to go to, and I disagree with that statement too, but I guess you'd have to go to the actual qualifications that would, the actual things that would disqualify you mm-hmm. from being a member in good standing.
Right.
And there's not a big long list.
No.
There really is not.
Uh-uh.
And I think that there has to be an opportunity to see people reveal their change in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever culture that is and whatever that defines itself into, I would believe that the mind of Christ would be given through Scripture and prayer in each society. For us, in our society in Columbus, Ohio, I want to stop and make sure people understand what they're doing before they do it. We do it when they get saved. We we clarify. We want to make sure they know what they're doing.
Right.
And so we want to do that with baptism as well. We'll do that with somebody who has already been saved, scripturally baptized, who wants to enter the church.
Mm-hmm.
We want to stop and say, well, here's what we believe. Here's a list of our doctrinal statement. Here's, you know, make sure you're in agreement with this. Mm-hmm. And we rebaptize somebody or actually scripturally baptize somebody who comes from a church that is not of like faith. For me, it's someone who disagrees with salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pentecostal, a charismatic church, most of them teach you can lose your salvation. That disagrees with the doctrine of salvation. Mm-hmm. And so we would definitely require somebody to be scripturally baptized because we have no doctrinal agreement with somebody who says you can lose your salvation. So therefore, your salvation really rests upon you as much as Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get it. I think of Peter. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, you think of what that entails. You know, having walked with Christ and being with Christ, and then a little girl comes up to you and says, you're one of them. He denies him three times, you know, and the hurt that that brought to the Savior, yet he wasn't kicked out of the church. He wasn't removed. He wasn't ostracized. In fact, the word is sent back with the women. Tell the disciples and Peter, make sure he's included, make sure he understands that you're still part of this. I think sometimes I think maybe we're too hard on people in what we require. And
it can be. Some people can be.
Yeah. I want the church to be pure. The church to be pure. Don't get me wrong. But I think that we are living in a different day of our generation. It is a different day of our generation. When I started out as a kid, I mean, most people were pretty moral and decent, and not all, but and it just seemed that it was a more religious time and all of those things. And it's not so much today. And so do I expect as much from people today as I did from people back then?
I do. Because as long as you expect scriptural things.
Yeah.
See, it isn't – we don't expect someone to enter the church membership and be a tither and be a soul winner.
Right.
And we expect them – to learn now.
Yeah.
Now they're different, and now they need to learn, and it's going to take time. Everybody's going to grow.
If you're a new creature.
To a different level.
Yeah, if you're a new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away.
Amen.
What old things? All those old things they were.
Yes.
Right?
All the old man.
They've passed away.
But we still have the old man.
Right. We've had
and we
got
to learn to put off the old man.
Yeah.
So that is a learning time. So
right.
Whenever it says... as a requirement for being a member in good standing in a church is a life that is free of any known habitual sin, I think that's a little bit too broad of a statement.
Yeah.
Because it'd have to be, I would think, it would be a life that is not bringing a detriment to the church.
Uh-huh.
But it's even stronger than that, because there's many ways we can be a detriment to the church.
Sure.
But... definitely the community in Corinth. And Corinth was a wicked, vile place.
Very sensual.
A wicked, vile place.
Sexual sins.
That even the people in Corinth said, whoa,
yeah.
Now that's pretty out there.
Yeah.
What that man was involved in.
Right.
And so now, you know, for Corinth to say, I mean, that'd be almost like... going to the employees of Disney, and the people in Disney's going, whoa.
Yeah.
Now that's something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, wow. You know, so it isn't just being free from any known habitual sin.
Yeah.
But a lifestyle that is so opposed to everything contained in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's where are you going to draw the lines on that thing? If somebody's smoking. You know, they got saved and baptized and they joined the church and they smoke. Are you going to put them out? If they watch a bad movie with bad scenes or language, are you going to put them out? I mean, you could really become very
pharisaical. And at the same time, it's not like we're saying all those things are fine.
Right.
I mean, not at all.
No.
But you preach against it. You teach against it. You try to obey it yourself and create an atmosphere and being consistent with Scripture, teaching and preaching to where they learn it is wrong and are aware of what the Bible says and have a desire of learning to grow in the things of the Lord. But there is a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. There just is. Because the Jew is taught from a child, you know, what we would think of maybe as a Hasidic Jew or at least an Orthodox Jew. They're taught from a child the scriptures. They have to memorize the Bible. They have to memorize these things. And of course, so that puts a foundation there. Mm-hmm. That while they're not saved just because you memorize scripture, mm-hmm. but you're learning scriptural application, you're learning a religious lifestyle, everyone you know in your own community, family, environment, they're trying to live a religious, moral lifestyle mm-hmm. based on what God says. Mm-hmm. That's different than growing up as a Gentile,
yeah.
even today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think of, you know, some of the main characters in the Bible, obviously they struggle with sin. They're religious people and had a lot of religious background, but
oh, sure.
a lot of them committed some pretty heinous sins as well, right? And
but that's the difference, though, is even all the rest of them went, whoa, now
yeah.
that's,
yeah.
that shouldn't be.
Right. We need to afford people the opportunity to change and in Christ.
You want to see the evidence.
Right.
And, we really want to see the evidence. And they need to see growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I am at the point where about the only thing where I would wait to baptize somebody mm-hmm. is to see if they're actually going to try to make it right. Whether break up, get married, you know, one or the other, something like that.
Okay.
You know, that there is the evidence there of genuine change.
Okay. What if somebody is an habitual drug user? What do you do with a person like that? You know they're hooked on
drugs. I think you baptize them.
And then?
You baptize them and encourage them to try to get clean and stay clean.
Right. Alcoholic, same thing?
Yeah.
Pornographer?
Yeah. Pornography isn't usually well known. It's hidden.
Right. Well, I'm just saying. Why do we put so much emphasis on the sexual then?
Because God does. Because whenever the apostles talked to the Gentile church, remember they sent their representatives down and said, I don't know about this group. You know, we're hearing there's Gentile church.
Yeah.
Let's go see about them. And so then, you know, they came back and Peter came back and later Paul came and they had the giant convention there yep. in Jerusalem.
Yep.
And they said, what are we doing with these people? There shouldn't be. And so what did they say? They said to keep themselves from fornication.
Yes.
And so that was the two restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was to keep themselves from fornication because Gentiles have a more lifestyle of fornication
yeah.
than the Jews did. I'm not saying all Jews
right.
were always monogamous,
right.
but their whole community is still different
yeah.
than the Gentile community.
Yeah, sure. I love it. Good answer, my friend. Well, that's number two. A little bit short.
Yep.
A little bit short.
We got another question that we can answer on Friday.
Yeah, we do.
It's number three, so.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, yeah, it's a long one, but so we'll just condense it.
Yeah. Here's what it says. Should they be allowed to be baptized and added to the church, but be immediately worked on?
Yeah, we already answered that one.
Yeah, we kind of did, didn't we?
That big one.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's too big to give a teaser.
Yeah, it is.
But we'll condense it for Friday.
Yeah.
We'll good question.
It is a good question.
Because the application applies across the board. A lot of churches are going through these situations.
Yeah. The question is the difference between judicial forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness.
Yeah, I've never heard of those terms.
I haven't either, but we'll take a look at it.
Amen.
Get back to you on Friday. Give us a minute or two
to think
about it.
There's a lot of things I'm ignorant about.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm here, to enlighten you and help you. Hey, it's been a great couple days. In fact, we've recorded a number of Tim Talks in just a short period of time.
And I
of
am
our
sick to death of looking at you.
That's sad.
We got to do it 20 more minutes.
That's sad. You don't have to do anything. You're fired. Brian Dahlke's waiting outside. He'll be right in. The new Tim Talks. So, it's been good. And I look forward to finishing things out. And this will help us for a few weeks.
Thank you for this question, the application of it. I hope that I'm not sounding too cutting. I just want to try to be a little bit clear. But the application fits many churches.
Yeah. And I think people are pretty used to you being cutting.
Well, yeah. Well, no duh.
Bad cop.
Who do you think you are?
Bad cop. I'm the good cop.
How stupid are you?
I'm the friendly Canadian.
Of course I'm used to being cutting, idiot.
I'm the friendly Canadian. That's here to bring peace and harmony to the world. Can't we just sit down at the table and talk about this? Ah, Americans, all you want to do is fight. Wow. Incredible. Hey, it's been good. I'm Al Stone, and I am traveling North America trying to win people to Jesus
Amen.
Christ and bring revival to the hearts of Christians and asking the Holy Spirit to do something incredible
Amen.
Our nations. We need something Amen. Desperately. Holy Spirit, help us.
Amen. This is Dan Wolden, Columbus, Ohio. Again, we thank you. If you've not given us a rating or review, please do that. It does help us out a lot. And I'm a big hypocrite for saying that because I never give ratings on anything that I buy.
Oh.
And I noticed the other day my wife had been giving some ratings on things that she purchased,
yeah.
and it's under my name.
Oh. Well.
I have a fake name that I use on Google, and my real name is on some of these reviews, and I'm going, doggone it.
Wow.
Retzer.
I saw your name on a review.
Yeah, right.
It was as a place you stayed.
Yeah.
You gave a great review.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was worth it.
It was worth it.
And again, my wife left it.
Yes, she did. Hey,
it would have been Dan Bucks.
Dan Bucks?
Yeah.
That's
my fake name.
Your pseudo name? Dan Bucks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I don't like using my real name on the internet.
I don't either. I'm Bud Weiser. Than you. I had to catch my breath. Bud Weiser than you.
Oh,
that's
man.
The name of our sponsor from Tennessee. This is Tim Talks. We have way too much fun so that you can have a bright spot in your day. This is Tim Talks. We'll be back with you on Friday. Be ready. We're coming. It's Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.